Well, good afternoon. It's Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life. And I hope you enjoyed the previous 2 hours. Scott and I kind of got into a progressive life type of discussion, and I'm glad that we're able to do that. Scott and I get along very well, and we're able to talk straight up. He makes me mad. I make him mad. Then we go to break, and we have a good laugh. Anyway, we had a good discussion this morning. I hope you, I hope it got your brain juices going. Today, we're going to be having a gentleman on, Mike Larson, who knows a lot about politics. He knows a lot about humor. He knows a lot about a lot of things. He helped Jackie Spears, who is the congresswoman from, I think, the Los Angeles area. I'm pretty sure that's where she's from, in her campaign, and she's quite outspoken. You'll see her on TV a lot. He's been a mentor for gentlemen who are in the local prison out there in California. He is from California, but he's moved, I guess, probably 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago. He moved back to Ohio for his wife. His wife is an Ohio lady. What a nice lady. I like her a lot. She's always nice to people. See, now that's what I was trying to get through to Scott today. We need to be nice to people, nice to each other. Even if we disagree, we need to find a way to be able to, if you absolutely vehemently disagree with somebody, be able to just shut our mouth, listen. You don't have to agree. You just shut your mouth and listen and be pleasant with each other. That's kind of what I try to do. Sometimes I can't do it. I know I'm not good that way. But anyway, you're listening, by the way, to WWGH Radio here, 107.1 FM in Marion, Ohio. And we are going to tomorrow during, I'm not sure whether it's going to be in the first section or the second section of On the Air. I got to find out how long it takes me to do this. As you know, I've been reading speeches by famous people, not so famous people. Well, tomorrow it's not even going to be by a person. Tomorrow I'm going to read The Lorax, which was written by Dr. Seuss. And The Lorax is it's a child's book that a lot of people know. And I'm pretty sure I had read it to my children, but I didn't realize it was so green, for a lack of a better term. It really kind of lays it down in simple terms of what excuse me, I have a phone trying to ring in my things. And I see what's going on. Anyway, The Lorax is very green. It explains very clearly why we need to treat our community with and our surroundings with kid gloves, and why all of this green stuff around us could just go away forever. That's kind of what we're going to talk about tomorrow. Now, it takes, I think, about 15 minutes to read the thing, so it'll take a whole section of the show tomorrow. And Mike just walked in on us. Hey, Mike, everything's been sprayed. If you need some hand spray, there's hand spray. The headphones have been sprayed.
Late today is National Drive Slow Day.
It's okay.
I got behind about 5 consecutive slow trucks that wouldn't get out of the way.
Well, I'm just glad to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time with this COVID thing. My wife and I are very we are very much advocates of the idea that you don't go anywhere you don't have to go.
Right.
I have a job on Wednesday, and that's to go do our weekly grocery shopping, and that's all we do when we go out, and I do 2 shows a week. So.
Right.
But we stay away from people, and we try to clean everything, so you should be safe there.
Oh, I'm sure I am.
Well, I've been trying to explain to the crowd The last 2 hours have been Scott, who is our station manager, and I have been arguing about what news is and what news isn't. He argues that remember when the inaugural took place, and I can't remember what the press guy's name was.
Sean Spicer.
Yeah, Sean Spicer gets up and shows a picture of the Obama versus the Trump crowd, and says the Trump crowd was bigger.
Right.
Well, Scott didn't think that was news. And I think after a while, he agreed that it was news on the first day, but it went on and on. It did go on a long time, and they might have dragged that one right through the...
Well, and the thing that we have learned with Trump, I mean, that day of Sean Spicer, we thought that was the most outrageous thing a president could do, and now it really pales.
Well,
so there comes a point where... And I've had an argument with my wife about this a couple last week.
Not with your wife.
Yeah, and she's a good arguer, too. Well, it's the idea about us Democrats to not get caught up in the outrage cycle, where we're outraged at everything.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't help us.
No.
And it kind of puts us on that Trumpian level. Instead of being the thing I like the most about Joe Biden is that he's pretty unflappable.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see his temperature rising every time something happens, you know.
Well, Scott and I were kind of had our temperature rising.
Yeah.
A lot of things that he's one of those people, he tries to be maintain neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
He stays right in the middle, and as a news guy, that's what he has to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but and I admit that I have an opinion piece on the radio,
right,
so everybody knows where I come from.
Yeah.
So that's what we were kind of arguing about today. When the show's over, we don't pat each other on the back anymore. We used to, but we tell a joke and we're in good shape.
Well, you know, the latest where this came up for my wife and I is that there was this picture from the Marysville High School football team that came out where they posed with these like Blue Lives Matter flags and they were on a train, and they had said, you know, that was the Trump train, and it was an official high school football photo, and a lot of people were upset, and I thought it was, you know, inappropriate, but they're kids, they have a right. You know, on one hand, we keep saying we want young people to be involved in politics, and we want them to have an opinion, and that means... they're able to have different ones than us too. You know.
I wonder, did they allow the kids who think Trump is such a good president to appear in the picture?
Question. So I spoke to a couple Marysville High students. They're not football players, but they have friends on the team, because the photo does not have the entire football team on it. There's, you know, football teams are pretty big, and I think that photo probably had about 20 kids.
Yeah, and football teams usually around 50 or 60.
Right. So, you know, my only concern is that is, you know, if someone was, you know, forced to do it, that would be wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, I made the point that if the football team chose to take their team photo taking a knee, people on our side would say, look at them, aren't they great? And the other side's hair would be on fire.
Yeah.
So, you know, my point wasn't that I thought it was a good idea that they did it or that I agreed with the statement they were making, but just that, you know, let's pick our battles. Also, I would rather see the criticism come from fellow Marysville High School students and not a bunch of cranky adults.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I looked at it. I saw it because when I ran for office, a lot of those people down there are on my friend list.
Right.
And so I looked at it and I thought, well, this is totally inappropriate. And then I thought, well, who cares?
Right. And then a couple days ago, there was a rally in Marysville from the same group that was pushing this group. and members of the Proud Boys, who are a neo-Nazi organization, showed up and marched with them.
Yeah.
And
which
at
I
that,
would have found offensive.
At that point, you either have to call them out or you are welcoming them.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear a peep from any of them, so I assume, and not the kids. Again, this was not high school kids. These were the adult boosters mm-hmm. who are, you know, trying to. It's funny because in the announcement for this rally, they said, no politics.
Yeah, it's political on nature.
Oh, of course it is. It was like, no, you're just saying you want no free speech. You want only your politics.
Right. Yeah.
But.
Well, I didn't know that they had done that the following day, but I thought it was inappropriate. And having been in athletics for 18
right.
years, if it had been under my auspices, I wouldn't have allowed that to happen.
See, that's me.
Either way,
I was a high school student athlete, and I was also involved in politics, but they were not the same thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and
so.
They shouldn't be.
Right.
I don't think.
Right.
And if I recall correctly, the pictures they showed of them, they were waving the flags with the blue line in the middle. Of it and the
right.
red line in the middle of it and all that patriotic garbage, as I call it.
Well, and they also had the American flag not displayed correctly for patriots. You know, you would think someone there would have known how those are supposed to be. And I have no I support law enforcement, of course I do. I support.
Who doesn't?
The problem is the idea of Blue Lives Matter is specifically a rebuttal to Black Lives Matter. It's
Absolutely.
Not. It's not saying, "Hey, support the police or whatever," or "We support our firefighters."
And it isn't for dead people whose faces have turned blue.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So, yeah.
I Scott and I talked in the previous hours about. I go on my walk.
Mm-hmm.
I walk by a lot of houses that have Trump signs.
Uh-huh.
As a matter of fact, one of the Trump signs, one of the gentlemen just bought a new Trump flag, and he's flying it higher than the American flag,
uh-huh.
which is
fitting.
Really against
yeah. Right, but it's quite fitting for Trump, right?
Yeah.
He puts himself above the country,
so
yeah.
But anyway, my argument was. I say hi to everybody.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
I don't care. One of the guys I waved at yesterday has not only a sign up, he has two signs up, a flag up, and a banner up, a Trump banner. And I wave at him. He seems like a nice gentleman. So I wave at him, and he usually waves back. Initially, he waved back with some trepidation. However, he
right.
didn't know that I was a Democrat.
Right.
I mean, we
right.
never have talked. And but... It seemed to me that everybody that I walk by, when I'm saying hi, if I walk by one of those houses that has a Trump sign in front of it, and I say hi to that person, they tend to be reticent to say anything to me. And I did a show about how conservative people tend to be more fight or flight type
mm-hmm.
people, and I just wonder if that has something to do with it, but let's not go there.
Well, if I can say something about
sure.
signs, so I'm down in Union County, which is every bit as Republican
oh.
as Marion, or
oh,
more so actually.
Yes,
you actually
so.
Have the city of Marion here.
Yeah.
And we cannot keep Biden signs in our campaign headquarters. Everyone wants them.
Really?
I went up and picked up.
Is that
up
because they're burning them?
It is. We have our headquarters in what was an auto body shop, which gives us room to spread out. And we have a big parking lot, so we have events outside, and we're able to do all those things safely. And as soon as I put up the big roll-top doors when I go in there, cars start pulling in. And time after time, people are saying either they have never put a sign in their yard because they didn't want to upset their neighbors, or that they were Republicans or independents and they supported Trump before and they want to make a statement. So, yeah, of course, there's still a lot of Trump signs mm-hmm. everywhere, but more and more we're seeing Biden signs. There's a couple of barns that have painted big Biden signs on the side.
One of them with a banner around its silo, I guess. I think I saw that.
Oh, I don't know if I saw that one. Yeah. So it's been, it feels good that the Midwest is not He's coming around, and yeah. I think, you know, it bodes well.
Well, as you know, I ran for 86th District for state rep, which included Union County and Marion County, and I probably knocked on 2,000 doors.
Yeah, you knocked a lot.
In Union County, and a lot of people were afraid to put my signs up.
Yeah.
And I knocked mainly on Democratic and independent doors. And many of them said, my neighbor would have a fit, or look at the signs on my neighbors,
Well, and what happens now is when people who feel that way, when they see someone else has a Biden sign up, that gives them courage. You know,
it's
okay. I have no problem with my Republican neighbors, my Trump. That's great. That's America. They have every right to do it.
Absolutely.
And they should have no problem with me showing my colors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once years ago when I still lived in California, I bought an American flag because I couldn't find the one we had to fly it on 4th of July. And my wife said, oh, God, are you going to fly that? People are going to think we're Republicans. And I said,
you know, I understand why she said that.
Yeah. I said, it's not their flag. You know, it's not their flag. You know, my dad and grandfathers fought for the country just like anyone else's did. And, you know, and again, I think Democrats need to just
Not worry about that.
And let them steal patriotism as if it's some sort of Republican thing. There's a guy actually in not too far from my house that has a whole bunch of Trump flags and signs, including a big sign that has, or a flag that has Trump as Rambo. And then he has another sign that says, socialists are stupid. and I said, and every time I drive by, I crack up. Well, last time I drove by, his neighbor had a sign in his lawn that said, forgive my neighbor, he's a douchebag.
We can say that on the air.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I see stuff like that in this area, but your area is by far, I really struggled in your area to get to talk to 2,000 people. Now, I think I hit about 2,000 up here, maybe a little more than that.
Yeah.
And most of the people that I talked to up here were very courteous. But I met some people in Union County that were not courteous when I was walking around. And I was not allowed to put signs up most of the places. I think I only ended up getting up maybe 10 signs, maybe not even that many.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of rough. But hey, you were going to talk to us. And I've touted this a little bit in previous shows. You listened to the conventions.
Yes, it did.
And I'd like to hear what you feel about both conventions, dueling conventions. Give us your best.
Well, one thing I thought the production values of the Democratic convention were incredible.
Far better. That very first day
where I'm turning it on and thinking, oh God, what? And they had, you know, the national anthem that was sung by children all across the country, and they had, you know, just from the get-go.
You know, when that started, I thought, oh no, they're not going to do this. And the more it went, the more my heart swelled.
It was great.
I was crying.
Yes, it was. And then in contrast, especially the fact that Donald Trump is a television professional.
Yes,
he is surrounded, and supposedly he had Mark, the guy who produced The Apprentice, was supposedly overseeing the convention, and there were no production values. For a guy who's worked on television my whole life, I was really surprised. I was sure theirs was going to be super slick, and it felt like those old cable access shows.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of did.
The weird, you know, they, you know, Trump insisted that the speeches be live, but they were live to empty rooms with that giant podium.
Really sounded cold.
It was weird.
Yeah.
And then they would do, you know, the wonderful Kimberly Guilfoyle speech where, you know, she was like, you know, Helga from some Scandinavian opera, you know, yelling and posing, was just very off-putting. I thought some of the speeches, they were great. I thought when they went and found Democrats who would vouch for Trump, I thought those were effective.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been more effective if they were Democrats we'd heard of. You know, they didn't have an equivalent of a John Kasich, for instance.
Right. And it did look like they were scrambling hard to find black people.
Right. Yeah, and I'm glad that they at least did that, because I bet it was Trump. It wasn't probably wasn't Trump's idea. They probably said, no, we need to have someone, you know.
It did look like that there was some production thought that went into
it. Yes, but then even the packaged pieces, you know, the videos were all campaign commercials. They weren't real life stories that the Democrats did very well.
Did you get the sense when you watched both of them? I got the sense that the Democratic in general program was welcoming, and I got a sense that the Republican was harsh and if you don't like us, we're gonna burn down the
world. That's that whole Trump thing that he keeps playing to that 31% that are with him all the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, whereas the Democrats are going for that other 69, they're going for, yeah, we need to win voters over.
Yeah, but if they have to put their mail in the mailbox, it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Threw that one in there.
Right, yeah.
Continue on with the
I watched both of them, and people... And I enjoy watching the Republican convention. I don't have to agree with them, but I find it just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Don Jr.'s cocaine-fueled speech with his eyes are watering, and he looked and just the way
he needed a makeup person.
And they needed someone with volume control to just, like, you know, can we speak to somebody?
Yeah,
you know, like they were all like, you know, Mussolini addressing the troops.
Yeah.
But that's what they were going for, I think.
Well, when
you know,
when I knew I was going to have you on and you talked that you would talk about the Democratic convention, I wasn't going to watch the Republican convention, but I didn't want to be totally ignorant. So
right.
I watched maybe 30% of it.
Uh-huh.
And I was, as a Democrat, I was very pleased with how bad I thought they were.
I guess I was really, I was sure they were going to have some seriously good production values because of Trump's a showman, you know? And it was surprised me.
Let me get, I did a little bit of a bio on you before you got here, but let me have you explain why you know so much about the television industry. Now, I did mention that you were a stand-up comedian, and I know that you helped, you've helped an awful lot. Whoopi Goldberg, Carrie.
Produced a lot of television shows. So I worked for the Drew Carey Show, and I worked on for Ellen, the sitcom when she came out. It was on that show. Whoopi Goldberg had a really funny, very political sitcom that only lasted a year shortly after 9/11 that I worked on. Reba
as
McEntire.
A producer?
Yeah, as a writer-producer. So you start out just as a comedy writer, but you know, later in my career, I was one of the executive producers of these shows. So at that point, you're involved in all aspects of production.
Yeah.
You're approving edits. You're doing the casting. You're you know, discussing with the you know, director of photography the types of shots you want and all that. So you kind of have to learn the whole business.
Were there some little things that you noticed in both of the conventions that, as a producer, director, writer, you would have changed? Other than the harshness of the Republican one?
Yes. I mean, visually, the Democratic convention was constantly changing. You know, they would have someone would speak at their home, and then someone else would be in a park, and Kasich was out on a farm somewhere.
A lot of people criticized that Kasich was at the corner of two paths and thought it was kind of
the crossroads thing was a bit on the nose. I agree. It was a tad on the nose. But it was visually stimulating because it was constantly changing.
Yeah.
Whereas that was my biggest problem with those Republican speeches, that they were all at that same podium on an empty stage to an empty audience, where even within that facility. They could have had different angles. They could have had different podiums, or some has a flag and another one has a backdrop of the Grand Canyon behind it or something.
Almost all of them had the flags behind them.
Right, and they were all the same, and they were all in... one of my good friends, who is a television director, about the third night in, he said, if we have to look at those flags all night long, could someone at least iron them? And then I looked closer and was like, oh, yeah, they are. They're wrinkled. Yeah. But
they had lost the lady that did the inaugural because she had quit by then.
Right.
And she would have had them ironed.
No, right.
Did you see her on TV today?
Or
last night?
No.
Whoa, she's really coming out against Melania.
Oh, that woman who wrote the book about Melania, who told us that she wouldn't enter the White House until the Obama's toilets were removed.
Yeah.
It's
pretty wild.
Yeah. But now...
You know, black people can spread that stuff.
Evidently. I mean, the more we learn about Melania, the less we feel sorry for Melania.
Absolutely.
You know, that she is absolutely right there with him.
Yeah.
But the other thing with the Democratic convention, because there were a few little technical burps along the way, because it was being shot all these different places... And at first I thought, oh, no, there's going to be too many. But then, in a way, it just made it feel more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think, you know, Nancy Pelosi started speaking about 3 seconds too early. And, you know, there were a couple of little things like that. But they were dynamic.
Yeah.
You know.
You knew it was live, or at least you knew they weren't trying to cover up little... blemishes. Yeah.
Right. And the thing we like about, the many, many taped shows I worked on, I also worked on a live show, which is Real Time with Bill Maher, that was really shot in real time. And there would be, you know, screw ups all the time, and we cringe at the time, but that's why it was exciting.
Yeah.
You know, that someone wasn't going to have their stumble edited out.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's cool. I love the Bill Maher show. I wish I didn't have to pay to watch it, but that's why we have YouTube. Do you think either one of those conventions would have swayed anybody?
I think that at most they inspired people to vote that maybe were on the fence to vote. I can't imagine there's someone in America going, God, I like both those guys. I don't know. You know? I think there are people, though, who are saying, am I going to vote or not? I don't, you know, I don't like Trump, but I'm not thrilled with Biden, so maybe I'll stay home. Those are the people now that I think they're really aiming for. And things like, you know, with the coronavirus, encouraging people to get that vote by mail. Mm-hmm. You know, don't wait till election day, because who knows, on election day there could be a huge spike in your community and, you know, no one's going to go.
Can't get there.
Yeah. Right. So I think things like that are...
Well, apparently 80%, they're expecting 80% of the people, Democrats, to vote by mail. And that leads to another question. How much is the manipulation of the post office going to affect the outcome?
Well, I would say that if you wait till the last week to vote by mail, you're risking that your vote
might not count.
It's somehow delayed or something, because we know they're going to gum up the works. That's what they do. Trump doesn't pretend that he doesn't cheat. You know, Trump was all that time. Trump was saying the election will be rigged. We thought it was an accusation. It was a promise. You know, he was telling us we're rigging this election.
Well, Kellyanne Conway came out and basically said, because we're crooked, that's why we're
no right
it's
right. You know, Jim Jordan said that if we allowed mail-in voting for everyone, a Republican would never win an office again.
Well, I'm not sure about that in Ohio, but
right.
Speaking of that, can I throw this in? I know that you and the lady that is running, Tiffany, who is running in the office that I ran.
Right.
I know your friends.
Very good friends.
Are you comfortable with where she is right now? Does she have any... Well, you're not going to say she doesn't have a chance, obviously, but do you think you think this situation has helped her?
I think Joe Biden against Donald Trump helps her.
That's what I mean.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know that Democrats are ready to start winning some of these super rural seats.
Yeah.
But Tracy Richardson, the sitting representative, is up to her neck in that whole householder $60 million bribery scheme. I mean, she
got $7,000 from him when she ran against me, and $8,000 when she's running against Tiffany.
Well, and never mind that, she got a total of $18,000 from him and the power company between the time that she switched her vote for the bill.
And it was only one vote.
Right, and it won by one vote. Yeah. That is the Tracy Richardson power deal that not only bailed out...
But she's a Christian, come on.
Yeah, not only did she bail out two nuclear power plants that were both failing, and one of them isn't even in Ohio, it's in Indiana, but it also it relaxed standards on coal-fired plants and completely obliterated the environmental help for environmental things like rebates for solar panels, you know, rebates for buying energy efficient appliances that help just regular people, you know?
Well, we'll have to have her listen to my show tomorrow when I read The Lorax.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know The Lorax.
I know The Lorax very well.
Very
sure.
Green.
Yes. No, it's great. It was actually a really good film when it came out a few years ago.
Yeah, I just watched it.
Okay.
Night.
Yeah. Tiffany's running a really good campaign.
Good.
You know who's really running a great campaign in Union County is Tony Uefinger, who
yes.
is running for county commissioner.
Tony is doing
a great
job. He is
out every day, like you were.
Mm-hmm.
He
was retired, so I could.
Right, yeah. He has a law practice that he's still going. But, you know, his mother is the only elected Democrat in Union County. She's, a family court judge and has been there for many years. She's retiring this year. So the name is well known. He handles a lot of estate planning for people all across Union County, Democrats and Republicans, and is known for being very generous with his time and his fees with all of these people when he helps them.
Right.
He's kind of the first person people call when they have a legal issue in Union County. So
I loved his answer to the person who asked him what politics, which party he was with, and he claimed, well, he was running for an office initially that was non-political, and but he admitted he was a Democrat.
Yeah, well, he's been a Democrat his whole life, and his family is too, but he is not a, you know, sometimes people who share our wing of the party, the more progressive wing, sometimes they get mad at Tony because he's not, you know, a hair on fire liberal, and it's like, no, he's not.
But he's a very good person.
He's a very good person, yeah. And he's a Democrat, and he will fight for the things we believe in. But also, there's no reason for county commissioner jobs to be partisan anyway.
Yeah.
It's in a legislature, you need to have your majority and your minority, but among three county commissioners, who gives a damn what party they are? And if anything, it makes the job harder to do because people are voting for a D or an R when who they should be voting for is who wants to clean up the log jams that mm-hmm. are blocking the rivers and flooding your field every year.
Yep.
You know, that's not a Democrat issue or a Republican
Absolutely
issue.
Not.
You know, where I live, we have all these new homes going in. And in those neighborhoods, there's bike paths and there's community parks and everything. Well, I'm just on the other side of a fence from the new community, and every time it rains just a little bit, my street floods. Hmm. You know, I love that there is new development, but
the runoff's
but that
you.
New development should fund fixing some of the older streets where the people who've lived there forever. And again, that's not a Democrat thing, but that's something Tony talks about everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
You know. And so I think he has the best chance we've had in decades to elect a common sense Democrat to county commissioner. And if so, you know, all the boats will rise. All the other candidates have become a little more viable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been helping
him a lot.
Yeah.
I had people Democrats. I knew were Democrats because it said on my sheet that they're Democrats. That said, why are you even doing this?
Right.
Well, if that's the attitude, they're probably not going to vote. And that didn't help me any.
No, yeah. And it's you do it because that's how democracy works. That's we're not supposed to just run for the seats that we can win easily.
I'm so proud that I did that.
Yeah.
I'm also proud that I have this show called A Progressive Life.
Right.
Because I've been able to explain to some people that we're not bad people.
No.
And people call me a lib like it's bad.
Right.
I think being a liberal is good.
Yeah.
Jesus was a liberal.
Right. Yes. Well, I you know, when I ran for Congress in the primary, I not only did I know it was highly unlikely that I was going to beat Jim Jordan in this ridiculous gerrymandered district, but I knew it was unlikely I was going to win the primary because I wasn't raising the money that Shannon, the woman who won, was. But it didn't matter. I got my message out. I got to visit all 14 counties and say my piece. I never pulled a punch. I spoke about the things that I wanted to speak about. I have a much bigger platform, you know, both here and nationally because of that.
You have a huge platform, so, I've noticed, on Twitter.
Yeah, our social media. It's, well, you know, my comedy background comes in handy.
I'm sure it does, yeah.
I get to, in fact, I joked, after this I'm going to play golf with our friend Ralph Litcher from anywhere in here. And so I joked.
Stay away from people.
I joked, yes. Well, that's a good thing about golf. You can kind of.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, he's much better than I, so we will seldom be within 100 yards of each other, I'm sure. But I joked after.
You hit it long, but in the woods, right?
No, I joked on Twitter that I'm playing golf for the first time in months, and I hope that when I'm lining up a putt, I don't choke and instead shoot my friend seven times in the back.
That was the most ridiculous. I did Twitter about that.
Even Laura Ingraham, crazy, right? When Laura Ingraham tried to stop the words before they came out of his mouth. She actually lurched forward. You're not comparing that to golf.
Oh, my. Yeah. My thing on Twitter was, I wish I could remember what I put on there, but I said at least I didn't shoot my friend seven times in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Golf is a great sport, I guess. I'm so happy that now that I'm not in public relations, I don't play it anymore. I could hit it long.
Yeah.
I could putt. I could do all that stuff, but it was the 5 hours of drinking beer that was killing me.
Well, I really enjoyed it when I was, especially when I was a comedian, we were on the road and you had a lot of time to kill.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I played almost exclusively with other comics and funny people, and it was just a blast. But years and years ago, I was just doing comedy, but I hadn't had any real success yet. And one day I was playing with three comedians who had all done The Tonight Show or Letterman or HBO special or whatever. And so I told them, told this guy John Mendoza, who was a big comic, that I would gladly make a deal with the devil that I will suck at golf the rest of my life if I could just get The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. The following week, the booker of The Tonight Show saw me at a club and put me on the show. So, to this day, every time I shank a ball into the lake or something, it was a deal that was worth it. That led to the whole rest of my career, led to me getting a television writing job, led to everything. Yeah. So
I've seen your Leno's thing. I've only seen one of them.
I did a couple.
And it was very good.
Night of my life.
He didn't let you kiss his ring as you went over to the.
Well, I did get to go over.
You got to go over to the bench, but
that was Jay. That was when Johnny hosted the show, there was much more of a thing that you knew. If he called you over, you knew
were
he did
good.
Jay was a little more. He's more of a comics comic. He was nice to everybody, and that first episode, the first one I did, I was on with William Shatner, so that was pretty cool.
And to our listeners, if you want to see Mike, you can Google it.
Mike
Larson
on
YouTube, and it'll take you right to his Jay Leno, one of his
Yeah, there's a few of them on there. And then during the congressional primary, some idiot up in Lorain County or whatever was going, finding my old stand-up tapes and taking like tiny little snippets out of it and then saying, should this guy be a member of Congress? Because like a thing of me swearing or of making a joke about a date or something, know. But
make it as inappropriate as he could.
Right, right. And I was like, yes, that I do have a sense of humor. I'm guilty as charged.
Now, is there any chance that Jordan is going to slip? I my guess is no, but that's because he's got so much money. He really has developed his power amongst the Trumpites.
Yeah, well, then this, the district. In fact, I have a T-shirt for you. I'll get it. I left it in my truck. That the Union County Democrats are selling T-shirts with the outline of the congressional district, which is shaped like a duck.
Yep.
And it says Buck the Duck and Jordan Mandering. Mm-hmm. And so we've been selling those, a lot of those. But, the Republicans in Ohio just blatantly cheat like the Trump people do. And, even though the statewide congressional vote each year is almost 50-50, I think it's 52 Republican, 48 Democratic. And yet, of the 16 congressional districts, it's 12 Republican and 4 Democrat. And Jordan has the most ridiculously gerrymandered district in order, because he could not win in a fair fight. In fact, if it was a fair district, some of our bigger Democratic stars in the area, like Mayor Schertzer or some of these other people, might step up, and then he'd really be in trouble. Not saying I wasn't a good candidate, but there's better ones than me, I'm sure. That, and hopefully when the new districts are drawn, we'll get a fair fight and someone can show him what it means to actually run for office.
That's not till 2021, though, right?
Yeah, next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after the... Although the other thing, not only are Trump, monkeying with the post office, but what they're doing with the census. They just announced that they're going to end it a month early.
Yeah.
They are actively trying not to count minorities.
Yeah.
Which is just, I mean, that was one, the post office and the census were two of the first things they put in the Constitution, So
that rends the election moot, basically, if you don't have all the
counted. Don't have everyone counted, and it not only does it determine the size of districts, but how much money schools get, how much local hospitals get, all of that stuff is determined by the census.
Is it just me, and I know this is Republican bashing, but this is A Progressive Life, that's the name of the show. Mm-hmm. is it just me, or are Republicans in general far more corrupt than Democrats at this time? Not always, but if you see the chart of the number of felons and people that have been arrested in our government, it's way higher.
Yes, there have been some very corrupt Democrats, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Ohio remembers Jim Trafficant. But... I would say the biggest shock to me is that in an administration where the corruption is blatant, mm-hmm. I mean, they admit to it right out in the open, that there's so few Republicans who don't call it out. And there are people like Lindsey Graham in South Carolina who, I've never liked his politics, but he prior to Trump, he appeared to be a decent person.
Yeah.
And
he did say it like it was.
Well, he did when he was running against Trump, And then, the fact that they just shrug, they're not getting, the administration isn't going to brief Congress on foreign election interference.
Yeah. And they'll let them write letter.
Right.
Write letters about it.
And how, people who believe in the democracy don't say something, and maybe they do have in private, I would like to believe, but it seems that only Mitt Romney and people who aren't in office say something.
I was told on Facebook yesterday or 2 days ago, it's not a democracy, it's a constitutional republic.
A republic, yes.
Somebody cared so much that he wanted to run me down that he put that on Facebook. I didn't respond.
Right.
And I will never respond to
right.
that.
Right. And the republic refers to the fact that we have 50 states and they have some individual rights. But right. the democracy refers to how we elect people. So right. it is both things.
Yeah. 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 And I would... That would have been my response,
yeah.
but I'm not responding to people that stupid.
Oh, no, no. And you've got to especially be careful on social media because I'll get, you know, people will say nasty things about me, and then I look and see that they have 2 followers. And it's like, I am not going to introduce them to my 60,000 people who read my posts.
Well, this one person, by the way, got me on the air with him.
Oh, okay.
He was on a televised podcast
okay.
or something like that. He got me on the air with him and was very pleasant to me at that time, but that was about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And but he,
oh, speaking of podcasts, can I plug?
Yeah, we only got about a minute.
I know. So I will be starting a new podcast in the next couple of weeks. We're just getting it ready. And it's called The Loser's Guide to Politics.
I like it.
We will be talking to people in all segments, the entertainment and politics, but specifically about people who have lost at something and how that made them a better person.
Oh, I ought to be on
that one. You're on the list, believe
I've
me.
I've lost twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds... And you know, it has made me a better person.
Yeah.
I am ever thankful that I did what I did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I really am. Well, we are down to 28 seconds, so you have any final thoughts before we get the heck out of here and you go play golf?
If people are listening, you can find me at MikeLarsonOH on Twitter, and Larson is spelled E-N.
Yes.
And, you know, if... Please vote early. Don't wait till Election Day. Encourage your family and your friends to vote early. They are going to try to steal this election, and the only way we can beat them is if our votes are counted.
Very good.
You're
we'll talk to you later.
To WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the Talking Place for legendary comedian.